Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Good Morning Hospitality listeners. We are back with incredible offers from Sojo and TravelNet Solutions just for you.
Sojo's making amenity management a breeze. Connect your reservation calendar, choose from their eco-friendly amenity catalog, and leave the rest to them.
Assembly, organization, delivery, all on autopilot. And exclusively for you, our listeners, enjoy a 30-day free trial of Sojo's game-changing service.
As for TravelNet Solutions, they are revolutionizing property management with their Hospitality Hub. It's a complete integrated solution for modern hospitality needs.
Dive into this powerful platform and see how it can transform your operations.
Exclusive access for our listeners at goodmorninghospitality.com/partners, or you can just grab the link in our show notes.
Stay on top of your hospitality game with these unbeatable offers from our partners.
And now, back to the episode.
All right. Good evening.
Afternoon.
It's evening. I took a red eye here. So it's evening.
Oh, well, it's good to see you guys in person.
How are you feeling?
It was an early morning. So if we sound a little boggled today, apologies, but we're live from Calhoun Hills in New York.
Well, do you want to tell the people why we're all together, or should we just leave that as a secret for a future date episode?
Future episode.
All right.
Okay. So, well, we're secret together. Location.
Yeah, we're together. That's all that matters. The crew is together.
Public location.
Secret public location. Reason. Secret reason. Yeah. Sorry. I also got up very early this morning. So.
Yes, and we're not used to recording in person. I think all three of us. So this is gonna, take a .
Passing the mic, though, we won't be talking over one another
easily.
Yeah, exactly. It's not your standard good morning, but we hope you're having a great day so far. Good afternoon. No cocktails this time. I was pushing for cocktails, but I was denied.
So. The espresso martinis were supposed to be flowing, but not today. Maybe tomorrow. I will say, just a quick housekeeping item. There's been a lot of new listeners and a lot of new followers, whether it's LinkedIn or other social channels. So we want to say, one, thank you for subscribing and following us. Two, to give you a quick recap, this show is live every Monday and Wednesday with our hotel crew, and we try to keep it to 30 minutes. So the whole point is so it's actionable, it's quick, and we don't want to waste your time because we're all busy. So thanks for tuning in to Good Morning Hospitality. And
since we flew into New York, why don't we discuss a little bit about the New York regulations, particularly what the hotel crew had a guest on this week. Can you recap that for us?
Yeah. So on Wednesday last week, we had Sarah and Steve sit down with Chip Rogers, who is the CEO and president of America Hotel Lodging Association. And basically, the episode covered a ton of different topics, from regulations in New York to then the homeless issue in California and kind of what's going on with legislation there. But Chip had an interesting point of view and comment that I actually kind of want Brandy to more or less lead with this, but the sentiment was around, if you're going to be in short-term rentals, then you need to play on the same playing field as hotels, whether you're Sonder, Vacasa, or an independent individual host. Now, that's a big statement to make. So, Brandy.
Should I take a sip of coffee first before my rant?
Yeah, Brandy rant coming in hot.
And I love the comparison to Sonder, too, because Sonder gets hotel licenses, and he should know that.
No, he does know that. He made the comment that Sonder is part of the organization.
And, I mean, Romy and many other urban operators also get hotels. Hotel licensing is not, like, that's just really kind of a zoning thing to make sure you can legally operate within the area that you're in. And, you know, there's a lot of it that I agree with, like, especially if you're a professional operator. And it's not so much because a hotelier is telling us that we need to level up, but it's because the guest expectations, there really aren't differences between what they expect from a hotel and from a short-term rental. So maybe 20 years ago, if you rented a house in the Outer Banks for 2 weeks, you brought your own linens. You were basically like, I'm just renting this house temporarily, like my own home, right, for the family. And that's just not how it is now. Guests are expecting, like, we even will leave, you know, paper towel and toilet paper for like a couple days. And then people will still be like, we've run out. I'm like, well, you've been here for 7 days. Like, you can go buy your own. But that's just not the expectation. And especially when you have guests that are booking, not just on Airbnb, but, you know, we have plenty of people that come from Expedia, things like that. So there are these kind of merging guest expectations and guest demands. I would say that the operations of a hotel and a short-term rental company are totally different. You have just, I mean, if we're looking at maybe your stereotypical vacation rental, it's a home. It's huge. There are so many more components, like the kitchens and the bathrooms and maybe hot tubs and pools and landscaping, that's on a per unit basis, right? That a hotel really has economies of scale. You have a centralized location, and I can even compare it. We have South Florida and New Orleans, and our New Orleans markets is much more like centralized, hotel-based, like the buildings are all kind of close together. It's a much smoother operation. Whereas South Florida, like geographically, it's kind of all over the place. There's smaller buildings, there's some single family homes. It's just like it's logistically much more difficult. Yeah. Now, I know in our industry, there's a little bit of tension with kind of the hosts, the more individual operators, but to give them some slack, these are maybe some people that are entering to have an investment property to make some extra money. I do think having consistency and quality, so a clean home, making sure, you know, we've talked about things like not having your family photos everywhere, but I think if you provide a clean experience and things are put together nicely, then that can kind of be the standard.
Consistently, though, hosts rank higher in reviews than professional managers.
Well.
I'm trying to encourage a Brandy rant.
Okay. Poke the bear. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, there's lots of reasons why individual hosts rank higher than professional hosts. And one of those things, like we've talked about, is just like the volume. So if you're an individual host, let's say you have a one reservation per week, you know, that might be 4 reservations in a month, you know, and so you are probably providing, you can just pay more attention to those details. And if you are an operator where you have, you know, hundreds of reservations in a month, thousands, depending on your size, you are going to be delivering a good experience, hopefully, but there's obviously going to be more bad experiences than if you were a single operator, just like statistically.
So I do want to play maybe a little bit devil's advocate and bring up a conversation and kind of selfish plug here for all the listeners. We are part of a network called hospitality.fm. And on my other podcast, we had this conversation with like Heather Bayer, Adam, I'm going to butcher his last name, Norky, with the Art of Hospitality podcast and a few others. And basically going into the conversation of like, what do we call ourselves? Because I had a friend in the hotel segment say, why is it short-term rentals if it's, you know, the same amount, kind of length of stay most of the time, right? Like, okay, if you're at a Romy property for 2 nights, what's the difference between staying at a hotel there? Granted, there is a difference with like, I'm going to use Robin Cragen from Moving Mountains as an example. Very different type of experience and type of stay, type of trip, type of traveler, type of guest. So basically, the kind of devil's advocate play I want to put here is, you mentioned Sonder, and so did Chip on his episode with the hotel crew. They are definitely a little bit different, but now how do we differentiate if we want to be on the same playing field? Then what do we call ourselves if that like you can't just separate urban and vacation?
No, I honestly, I don't have a great answer for this, if I'm being honest. Like, I think that what I hate more than short-term rentals is like the alternative accommodation space. Like that doesn't roll off the tongue. And
I think we're too mainstream now to be like,
alternative. Yeah. You're not. And it's just, you know, and it's, what is that? Just everything that's not a hotel. And you're totally right. Like there's a difference between the home that you have to go skiing or to go to the beach and then an urban property. But yeah,
you need there, to stay treehouse.
There's limited service and there's full service. So you guys are limited service.
Correct.
But with that limited service comes extra bedrooms, kitchens, fridges. But so it really then segments by traveler type or preference. You know, if you're traveling with kids, with friends, and you're not on a shoestring budget, you tend to want your own rooms. And then it's also always nice to have a fridge stocked up if you're traveling and you like to have an early morning iced coffee or a late night beer.
Yeah.
And you're in a limited service property, you don't have the ability to go down to the hotel lobby bar.
Yeah.
But then there is the big difference is like the traditional vacation rental market. It's not like a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Romy properties, Sonder properties are more similar to a hotel.
Correct. 100%.
And those are, that's what's kind of blowing my mind is that like in New York, if Sonder's brought up in the vacation rental category, they're wrong. Like they're a hotel. And if even by speaking it in the same vein as a traditional vacation rental in the Outer Banks, it's night and day. The businesses are totally separate. The softwares are totally separate, operations, et cetera. So, you know, I think what I'm most interested in seeing with the New York legislation is how many other cities follow suit in 2024 when bad regulation ticks in, it tends to snowball. And you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not against hotel licenses for vacation rental operators in city centers, especially. I think that's probably the best way to go because then it is a level playing field.
Yeah.
But how then do you regulate the single family homes?
Yeah. And I think it also, I mean, there's certain the bad regulation piece, like really, I don't know if that's like pulls on a thread. Like I think that some cities might see this and think that New York really had it figured out and continue to enact that. But then almost immediately you have all of these kind of like underground, like people are going to go back to Facebook Marketplace because the reality is that, I mean, in New York, for example, let's say your hotel room costs $400 a night, which it probably costs more, but you could get a, you know, a short-term rental, a Airbnb, an apartment for that amount and split it. Everybody, maybe the, you know, people have their own rooms or don't have to pile on top of each other. Like that demand doesn't just go away. And so, I mean, the hotels were probably singing this government's praises when they saw that because their ADRs go up. And I mean, good for them. You know, that's what, you know, everybody wants to make more money. But I do think that you see these, what, you know, sweeping bag regulations will catch on because it just is an easier playbook to follow. And then what's going to happen, my prediction, is that some point down the line, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 5 years, there's going to be a whole other sweep of like undoing all this stuff when they see, because it will take time for the repercussions of all this to be fully formed.
And what we've seen time and time again is you can write bad regulations, but the enforcement of it, once you realize that you can't even enforce the laws that are on your books, then you have to unwind it. Or I think I mentioned this the other day, but in San Diego, the home prices plummeted by like 25% when a bad regulation went into play. And then they realized, holy cow, we're crushing our sales market, our home sales market. 90 days later, they undid it. So kind of this weird pendulum. It's kind of been quiet, quite frankly, on the regulations front for a couple of years, really, throughout COVID. But it seems to be like...
I would say more of the last year, maybe not a couple of years.
Well, this might start a tidal wave of the next phase. So
you both have mentioned, you know, prediction. You mentioned 2024. Let's kind of recap for the listeners. We are going to revisit our past episode back in January, where we did do a predictions roundtable with a bunch of other people in the podcast network. But I'm curious, you know, it is kind of quiet. We were looking at things to talk about before this episode. And we're like, okay, like we know there's some stuff coming up, but from an industry standpoint, it is kind of quiet. End of year. Where do we think 2024? Is there going to be a theme outside of maybe AI or other things like that that are going to happen and pop up for the next year as like a kind of a majority theme talking point?
I think I said this as the prediction this year, and it's happened a little bit, but there's going to be more and more M&A in the next year. Businesses are going to run out of funding and have to do something that they either close or end up merging with somebody. So that's my prediction. I don't think it's necessarily a bold one by any means, but you know, the VC market has been dry largely, which means people are going to be towards the end of the runway if they aren't profitable. So, you know, I think focus is going to be on profitability or figuring a way to get out of what you're doing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was trying to think if I had any like hot take predictions, and I think that 2024 is going to be still more like a year of caution. You know, I think a lot of markets are continuing to see ADR compressions, and costs are still, maybe they've stabilized, but they've still probably eaten away at any sort of margins that you might've had. So I think that the companies that will survive will come out like much stronger and, you know, much more agile. But I think that you're right. I think that you'll start to see kind of like the writing's on the wall for some people already. And you'll just sort of maybe start to see those house of cards fall a bit more.
I'll follow that in the sense, maybe not the next year of 2024 being kind of like cautionary. I'll say maybe the first 6 months. We'll go really in cautious. I think we're going to see a lot of the learnings that you're talking about. And I think, and I'm hoping, I've already seen a little bit today while we've been here in person, but I think operators are going to collaborate more on the back end business side, not just, you know, ADRs or rev parts, but the actual P&L items that are really crucial or not crucial. And I'm hoping that we all learn and that elevation phase kicks in into the next 6 months that way, or not the next six, but the last, like the tail end 6 months of the year, to then really, you know, standardize and increase that professionalism. I think we definitely, you know, want to all be good businesses. I think we want to provide hospitality. It's just,
I'm going on for yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
A real business, profitable?
Well, and that's why I have to agree, you know, like with the hotel side, something that I always get like a little jealous of, I think, especially from like the luxury hotel side, is like how much dedication and like resources are put into the hospitality component. Yeah. And I mean, it's really, really expensive. And so that is, you know, that's one thing that I look at, you know, like Robin at Moving Mountains, like what they have, like, it's just so luxury and lovely. And I'm like, I would love to be able to roll that out. But another thing you touched on is like the operators collaborating. And that's something I've said before, it's not a hot take, but I love how collaborative the industry is. You know, like, you know, we happen to know a lot of really great operators and then vendors, but just kind of be like, here's open kimono, like, this is what we're doing. Like, do you also have any of these problems? Or here's a solution that we've come up with, you should try it and see. And, you know, we've seen that there's operators that we've worked with, like, you know, taking little things from each other and tweaking them, because it's not a zero-sum game. We don't want to see all these businesses fall.
There's also no playbook. There's no Cornell for what we're doing. So it's like, we're kind of having to build that.
Everyone in the space is on the cutting edge. We're building the plan as we go as an industry. And that's why it is so collaborative. And that's why there's not, you know, there's a few people that are pretty competitive with one another, but largely speaking, the industry is not terribly competitive. You know, I think the rising tides rise all ships has kind of happened. Mm-hmm. And now it's the tide starting to go out, and we're seeing who the real strong businesses are. They will end up probably acquiring or merging with some of the smaller ones.
Yep.
And, you know, consolidation. Yeah. If you've listened to anyone's predictions in the past 10 years in the industry, they always talk about consolidation. Yeah. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of consolidation when Vacasa or VTrips or CasaGo and things like that. But the vendor side especially is going to continue to accelerate.
Yeah. And I kind of flipping it onto the more of the consumer side, I kind of unfortunately think that the domestic tourism will continue, like the hot year of like 21, 22. I still think that is very much in the past. Like, you know, this was one of the first big years of like Europe being reopened and like everyone's in Positano. Yeah. And
I mean, inflation over the past 3 years combined is like 20%.
So. Yeah.
if unless you've gotten a 20% pay raise.
Exactly.
I know I haven't.
Yeah.
discretionary income has has continuously eroded.
So I think that, you know, if especially if you're in a market, I mean, you can feel that in a place like Miami. It's like, okay, are we gonna go to Miami again? Or are we gonna maybe go to like the Yeah, whatever, you know, so it's, I think we're going to continue to see that. And because flights are relatively still cheap, you know, within reason domestically. And I mean, depending on what,
not to Spain.
I'm hoping not. I have a wedding there next year. So hopefully those come back down. But yeah, I still think you're going to see people are not just staying domestically, that they're going, and I think that trips are going to continue to shorten. So if instead of taking like that week long trip, it might just be like a long weekend kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've nothing to add. That's all I got.
Thanks, Will. Great input. Really appreciate that. One quick shout out. Happy birthday to my wife, Kristen.
Yay, happy birthday.
I won't say any numbers, but you know.
25.
She likes to say 24, spelt in the New Orleans way.
Oh, I like that.
F-A-U-X. But yeah, we'll be back next week with more topics and more insight on some of the stuff we're discussing today.
Yeah. So thank you to all the listeners who did reach out and say, hey, where's the episode this morning?
Missing out. My
dose of GMH. So you got the good evening or good afternoon, whatever you want to call it. I feel like it's evening. Good afternoon hospitality version. And since that we're doing this in person, I have to awkwardly reach into the camera and get ready to
not long arms
say goodbye. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you all again next week.